You are about to enter the world of the Face Off Hockey Podcast.
It's only a game. Why you have to be mad?
The cases are real. The debates are real. Their rulings are final.
This guy's such an idiot here.
This is your podcast. This is Face Off Hockey.
Tiger, where are you? Tiger!
We also didn't talk about how now there's going to be a 1A.
Wow, Muzz Daddy!
Ready. When I hit record, okay, when it's in my hands, I just do it whenever I want. I don't let anybody else know. I just kind of do it. I like to catch you guys off guard.
So
everyone's gone.
Beautiful. I am the captain now.
Yeah, that's it. That's what's happening. No, I'm just kidding. Gio, take it away.
Well, I don't need to take it away.
Don't scare me like that.
We've been having technical issues for the last couple weeks, as you guys may have heard. If you guys are regular listeners and follow us on our social media at Faceoff Puck Pod. Before we continue on about our little diatribe about how shitty the last couple weeks have been, I think it's honestly a sign that the studio, it's calling our name. We got to get in. It's pretty much set up. So hopefully next episode, we're in the studio for you guys. Our audio quality is going to go to the roof. The production is going to go to the roof, to the moon, as some people might say.
To the moon, yeah. And right now we're actually building, we're working on a conspiracy theory that Kojiko is actually out to attack Face Off Hockey Podcast by giving us at least the Oakville people, the Oakville part of this podcast, some shitty internet connections. So I don't know who's behind this. Part of me thinks it's Sportsnet. Part of me thinks maybe it's Bell. You know, these guys have affiliations. I don't know who owns Kojiko. I don't know if it's a separate company or not, but we need to get to the bottom of this. So if anyone knows any additional information, we're taking all tips right now.
As long as it doesn't have anything to do with China. But lately, with Canada in that country, we'll just drop it right there. How about that? So, guys, before we get
Huawei, represent, bitches. Huawei.
Before we get to our ad read, I do want to mention quickly, if you guys are watching on YouTube, to please hit the subscribe button if you haven't. Like, rate, and share the podcast. We want to try and get up in the algorithms before we get back in the studio and get as many people watching before the production really amps up. You know, the soundboard is going to be back in action. Tons of sound clips, good answers, and all that kind of stuff. We're going to bring a bunch of segments back. I got music loaded up for segments, and me and Mikey were talking off the air, CAC. Actually, we had an idea of having a separate camera and a separate chair called the stupid chair, where you're going to go and sit for 2 minutes, the penalty box, yep. And you have to wear the helmet and bring the microphone with you. And then once you get out of the box, you can come back in. Just some ideas. We're going to try and expand when we get
so Mike's permanent chair.
Yes,
I guess so. It is his studio.
I live in the penalty box.
All right, guys, as always, Face Off Hockey Podcast brought to you guys by Bean Bundle. Are you guys coffee lovers? Do you prefer fresh roasted beans in the morning, in the afternoon, or at night? Then jump on and subscribe to Bean Bundle, they're Canada's newest coffee subscription. Each month, you get to try different trendy and hip roasters from across the world. And the best part about it is it's delivered right to your door. Now, CAC, tell them how easy it is to get started before we lose you.
Unlike working for the Arizona Coyotes, it's super easy to get started. First, you just choose how much coffee you want per month. For an example, if I order 2 12-ounce bags, that should last me about a month. You can choose how you brew at home. Use a filter or an espresso machine. Do you like light, medium, or dark roasts? The choices are yours, but Mike,
what happens if you don't have equipment?
What happens if you don't have any equipment?
Oh, there it is. There it is. CAC almost made it through the ad read there. It's unfortunate, but CAC, don't worry. At Bean Bundle, they have everything from grinders, pour over filters, and droppers. They got you covered. There's free shipping across Canada, and all you have to do is use our promo code PUCK25 at checkout to receive 25% off any month-to-month subscription. That's PUCK25 at checkout. Fresh and different coffees for you and your loved ones to try every month. Visit beanbundle.com for more.
Exactly. Continue supporting Bean Bundle. We got a message from them not too long ago. Oh, he's still here. CAC, this is going to be going on and on. It's okay. We're going to get through it. This is like a season finale of a reality show where we're just going to try and get through it. Shit's going to go crazy. CAC is frozen on my end. It looks like he's about to throw his computer.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, Bean Bundle gave us a little seal of approval. They say coffee has been moving like crazy. We're doing a good job promoting them. So guys, thank you. Obviously, if you're using the promo code, if not, share it, use it, give it to someone who you think loves coffee and drinks coffee on the regular because it is a very good deal. Now, there is a little bit of, well, it's not breaking news because we do record in the past future. I had to bring this up. I know we're a hockey podcast, but we're all sports guys. And what's going on right now in the Tiger Woods situation, he was in a single car crash yesterday morning. Sorry. And at this point, while we're recording, we don't really know what had happened. It's just being said that he was traveling at a high rate of speed by himself early this morning. The car had gone off the road. He crossed over the center, flipped a bunch. The car was on its side. They said it was about 30 yards. I don't know if that's a relation to golf or anything.
Yeah.
But 30 yards off the road, and they had to use the jaws of life to get him out. People do like to say, oh, the jaws of life, it's a cool thing. But I just want to reiterate, it's never a good thing when the jaws of life have to be used. That means the person is literally stuck inside of the vehicle or whatever has happened, and they have to use that to get him out. He's been in surgery on his legs. So let's hope all is good there. I don't want to jump to any conclusions. I don't want to speculate as to why this happened. But just from a sports and golf perspective, this might be the very last we hear of Tiger Woods on the golf course.
Yeah, and I was going to say, G, I mentioned earlier that I hope he can play golf again. I hope the guy can walk again. I hope he survives. So
Golf is honestly in the back burner at this rate. This is about human lives at this point, and you just hope that he's okay. We know he's gone through so many surgeries, so many different injuries, and he had recently gone through, I think, his fifth or sixth back surgery. And people were pointing out to a couple days ago, he didn't really look like he'd been getting any sleep. He looked like he was out of it on the broadcast. But we don't want to jump to conclusions. That's why he got into this accident or anything. But knowing his past, it's hard not to have your mind go there. And I'll admit that's where my mind went at first. Cac, I know you want to say something, so jump in.
Oh, I don't know if I've been crapping out this entire time since the ad read. So that's what I was asking.
No, we're just ignoring you, buddy.
But yeah, but didn't he have wasn't he in a car accident years ago as well?
He wasn't in a car accident. He was just pulled over because he had fallen asleep at the wheel. And it was pretty obvious that there was no alcohol or anything in his system, but it was all opioids that had made him woozy and stuff.
Exactly. And going through as many surgeries as he has, and getting prescribed pain medication. I mean, he's not the only one who's got substance abuse issues. I mean, that's why there's $1 billion lawsuits out there for these massive pharma companies. So, I agree. Let's not jump to any conclusions or anything. You know, people are fighting battles no matter who you are, no matter how much money you have. So, at the end of the day, it's human life, and we hope for the best. So that's it.
Yeah, it's well said. But before we move on to the topic, I want to talk about too, if everything goes well with him and he gets out of this surgery, and
we should
golf. Yeah, absolutely. Invite him in studio. Why not? But golf's on the back burner. But we've seen this guy. We thought he was at the lowest of lows a couple years ago. This is a new low, obviously, but it's who knows. Once again, we don't know what had happened or why he went off the road. But where we saw him a couple years ago, and then he won the Masters, let alone just being able to walk again and play golf and win a tournament, but then win the Masters. This is one guy who's been through adversity. This might be the final point where he might not even get to golf again. But anyway, we'll see what happens. Did you guys happen to see, also switching sports topics, the viral video a couple days ago of Cam Newton, and he was holding a fantasy camp, or I guess a coaching camp for kids playing football, and he was getting into it with one of the kids, and the kid was chirping him, basically saying, "You're no one, you're a free agent, you're a free agent." And Cam Newton was going back at this teenager saying, "Bro, I'm rich.
And he's like, and "You're about to be poor, yeah."
Yeah. And the kid was going at him. So I was just trying to think, is there a hockey player that would have a career like Cam Newton, where he got to the highest of highs, went to a Stanley Cup final, but got injured, and then, kind of have to reclimate his career by going to another team, and then he gets dropped again? Because I was looking at the list of recent free agents. There's no one of that prominence on the free agent list, but I can't think of anyone who would maybe get kind of not kicked out of the league, but is on the free agent list. Bro, I'm rich.
Eric Carlson.
Tony D'Angelo. Yeah, maybe, but
I would say Joe Murphy, but he never. But that's way back.
I'm thinking like a stud. Like, he's got to be a stud because Cam MVP, Superman, Super Cam, whatever you want to call him. He's a stud, right? So he was a stud. So they had to be like the best or one of the best at one point. So
yeah, it's a hard comparison, but I was just trying to think of anyone. I don't know if you guys had thought of anyone or seen the video, but I just thought it was hilarious that a teenager was chirping him.
Lucic too.
Yeah, that's actually a good one. Yeah.
Lucic did drop.
I also thought Milan Lucic, right? So
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny you bring up Milan Lucic because they were showing some sort of top 10 about Jacob Markstrom coming out of his net, challenging the puck, flipping him. And they showed the classic clip we've played with Ryan Miller coming out of his net. And just want to say what a piece of shit that Lucic is.
Yeah, what a piece of shit.
Just gutless, man.
That guy was a character.
Is he still holding? Yeah, he's still with the Ducks. Yep. He re-signed.
I think it was a month ago or something, and I heard maybe it was Annie O'D.
We brought it up with Annie, and shout out to Annie and the Anaheim Ducks. Trevor Zegras making his debut with the Anaheim Ducks, so hopefully that's a good sign to their future as well. But let's get into some topics.
Thanks for the gifts, Annie.
Yeah, Kak, you're going to start off with the Arizona Coyotes whole mess, but we do want to say we have a guest on the podcast this week, a very special guest, Toronto comedian, actor, Nima Naziri. We came across his content for a long time now, but he does this hockey bro character. So we reached out to him, got him to come on the podcast. We basically asked him about his comedic and acting career, what he wants to do in the future, how he decided to keep going after he got viral on Instagram, and we got him to do some hockey sayings and his famous accents. And we hope you guys enjoy that. So we'll plug it in a minute, but I want to talk about the Leafs for a little bit. I got a little comparison I want to break down. We got to talk about the outdoor game and the mess or not mess, according to some, and we'll talk about that. The Artemi Panarin story. Is he getting chased down by Vladimir Putin? What the hell's going on there? But Kak, before you keep crapping out and stuff, let's talk about the Arizona Coyotes, buddy.
Oh, I don't know if this is going to take a long time here, guys. I got so many notes, and I don't know if I...
Oh, step one.
Fuck!
just start it off. We'll keep going.
Piece of shit fucking phone.
Oh, fuck.
So, this is bullshit. Okay, so on the left side of the Arizona Coyotes organization, there's nothing right. And on the right side of the organization, there's nothing left. And if you look at the... Did that come clear?
Yeah. So far, so good.
I took a shot there.
We'll do this if you're good.
Okay. Just keep doing it. Okay, yeah, so yeah. Katie Strang of The Athletic was in... Oh, it's like rehab. Okay, so Katie Strang of The Athletic, she had this article in the works for a while. She got a bad feeling when it was reported that... Oh, God, I can't look at you when I do this.
I can't. No, keep going. Keep rolling.
She got a bad feeling when it was reported that the checks for the players weren't coming in on time, like the signing bonuses.
Yeah,
and that
for real.
The players weren't getting per diem while in the bubble. When Alex Morello came in as the owner, there was the sense of hope. And since then, there's been sexual abuse, verbal abuse allegations. Mitchell Miller has been screwing up that whole draft.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
There was a mental health trainer that raised concerns before the draft. There was a big draft meeting. The Coyotes didn't like the lack of transparency or remorse for Mitchell Miller. And it took they took him off their draft board. But then when there was turnover with the staff, they shifted back to picking him. And now there's shifting blame as to who was responsible for all that. And then Tatum, but there was so much blowback that they got rid of him. There's this big thing about family, Alex Morello, and he says that we're like family, but if that is how you treat like family, then it's dysfunctional one, because oh my God, he demands to be called Mr. Morello.
Demands it.
if you don't call him Mr. Morello, he will get mad. But he does have an inner circle, so at least he treats those guys like family. No,
you're good. Keep going. Yeah, you're good.
Okay. Current and former employees were interviewed, over 50 people. Also people that did business with the team. So there was vendors. GM Bill Armstrong actually called Katie Strang to lecture her about journalism. And we know that it's not rare for a GM to call a reporter, but
Yeah, and I Cax crapped out for a little bit, but I want to interject on your point about journalists and GMs, because I know from experience about it had to do with the Columbus Blue Jackets when they were trading away all their assets and Jarmo Kekalainen was getting a lot of flack. And there was a writer that I worked alongside that's pretty prominent in the NHL setting. And he had put out a story basically not shitting on the Columbus Blue Jackets, but was talking down, saying, you know, the moves that Kekalainen has made is going to hurt them. And Kekalainen had sent a text to this reporter saying, you know, I really don't appreciate what you said about me. I thought we were all good. I thought we're on good terms, stuff like that. And basically the writer had posed maybe he was about to lose a source and a connection. So there is that side of things that this writer was probably thinking of.
So he was trying to, he even said that she was not only wrong to write the piece, but that she was bad at her job and would threaten to speak to other GMs and executives about how bad she was. So he was trying to ruin her reputation.
But don't you think there's a side of it as well when you get that defensive about something? Like, and you're then, definitely hiding something.
Oh, for sure. I mean, when there's smoke, there's fire. And Phoenix or Arizona has just been a volcano. They were behind on making payments. Let me see here. I have a note. Large outstanding balance that was several months overdue with Gila River Arena. So not only that, but Strang even went to the league that she was going to release this article twice asking for their input. Both times they declined to comment. So it's very toxic, very dysfunctional. And when Gretzky couldn't get it done, what makes you think anybody can get it done? Like, this story was going to get published in multiple stages, and then things just kept coming out. So that they just pushed the article. And you're going to love this. Let me hold on, find it. So there's two things that I really want you guys to absorb here. So the Coyotes threatened litigation to employees and vendors when they wouldn't pay contracts that were signed by previous ownership group. They have an open door policy and with their employees. But after this article published, the Arizona Coyotes had a town hall meeting telling workers that.
I wonder what they told them at that town hall meeting,
I'm
Mike,
curious too,
the town crier.
While they have this open door policy, speak.
Oh man, this Zoom. Sorry, Kak. We lost you halfway through that conversation.
Where did I leave you off?
Something about a town hall meeting.
All right. So they have an open door policy, but speaking to the media is grounds for dismissal.
What?
So think about that. So think
it's silence.
Think about that.
That's insane, man. Think what, about what is that. This?
China? Is that what you were gonna say?
But not Russia. Only that, if you're an employee at
Go ahead.
But the thing is, if you are one of these employees and you do now go to management and like talk about your concerns, there's a target on your back because they're going to think, oh, were you one of the ones that talked to them? And the other thing, the PR shit that the Coyotes shared about the article, calling it a harassment campaign, this article where the Coyotes just slid it and it was like no reliance. There was unauthorized distribution of information.
Yeah, it's a whole mess, and I'm just going to try and pick up where Kak left off, but the Arizona Coyotes, it's an entire mess what's been going on, and having this kind of information come out in the Athletic in general, it doesn't look good on them, and it just happens to be at the same time when they finally have some of the rookie players starting to look like it. Connor Garland leads the team in points with 16 and 18 games, and I believe actually Connor Garland does some stuff with Danny and Project Hockey. Danny was our guest last week on the podcast, and I've seen him repost a bunch of Connor.
Hey,
Garland
Danny, have
stuff.
You gotten paid on time? Yeah, or are you part of the harassment campaign against Mr. Alex Murillo, daddy?
I think this is why we didn't even bring it up last episode, because we had Danny on and he mentioned how he does a bunch of work with the Arizona going to do a bunch of work with the Arizona Coyotes and expand it even more. Austin Matthews being from there. But yeah, as I was saying, Connor Garland, Christian Dvorak.
Matthews is going to come back to Arizona with this franchise. Sure, he's going to leave the Leafs for this piece of shit franchise. What a joke.
Never. It's never going to happen. And even when people suggested that a couple years ago, he only signed 5 years. That means, you know, he wants to get out of Toronto. He wants to go back home and play in Arizona. Come on. Like, let's get real. If I've got any more confidence in something, and, you know, I will say I have thought maybe Matthews will leave in the future. You never know. But the Arizona Coyotes just continue to be a dumpster fire. no offense to Danny or anyone in Project Hockey, because it has nothing to do with the actual organization.
Well, it does have everything to do with the actual organization. It has nothing to do with the people that they deal with in the organization.
Yeah, that's what I meant. What
maybe the organization has done for the community, for hockey in the area. But yeah, it has everything to do with the organization and upper management. So at what point, I kind of pose the question, at what point, and I know the NHL is probably already involved, but at what point do they have to get involved? And at what point is this just damaging
their product?
Yeah.
They won't, because so many times the NHL owned the team for a couple years. They will do anything in their power to keep it there.
They're going to talk about the TV deal. I mean, this organization lost $56 million last year alone. And Katie Strang, like I said, I don't know if it came through twice, warn the NHL twice, ask them to comment, and they didn't do that. So
they're going to protect them till they die, man.
I don't know why.
Well, protect what though? At what point is it just negligent to let a team like that just like crumble? It just looks bad on the league as a whole. I mean, when you have a professional sports team in the United States that's not paying salaries on time, not honoring contracts.
Yeah.
I mean, it's if the NHL was
a joke,
stock, if there was a stock in the NHL, it wouldn't be doing very well right now. So,
and they threaten vendors and with litigation. It's like, oh, we're going to, you know, litigate you like crazy and you'll never get paid and you'll lose money on lawyer fees. I've watched Superstore. I know how they threaten you.
Is that a good show, by the way? I've heard mixed reviews. I need to get into it.
I like it. I mean, it brings me back to my retail days and my CN Tower days where a bunch of shit would always happen. But
I worked retail too, so I guess I would kind of be able to relate to it. So
I will say this, though. I like Amy and Joan. I like
you
Amy
brought
and Jonah.
The I've side. I know where you're going with this. Don't even go there.
Yeah, I agree.
Don't knock it till you try.
I'll try it. I'll give it a shot. I might fire it up tonight.
Thanks for stepping in our defense.
And people who are mad at me, I appreciate grow up.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, no, I was just gonna say I think Jonah is an absolute plug. I don't like the character. I think he's a little bit stuck up more so than Jim, and I just don't think he's that funny. At least Halpert was funny. He would always look at the camera and just be like
I don't know if that dumb look on his face.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he was funny.
I don't know if that came across, but Jonah became an SJW as the series.
Oh, the SJWs, they're listening to you, bro. Yeah. They're trying to cut your connection.
Hey, no, they're going to get mad at me. They're going to get mad at me about my Hamilton comment in a bit. So, you know, I know what I said.
Yeah, maybe we'll throw that in. We'll throw the Nima interview in here now, because after Nima, I got to talk about Artemi Panarin, and I want to talk about the Leafs a little bit, and then we'll cut it there because of the technical difficulties we're having this episode. So Nima Naziri joined us the other day, and we talked about his comedy, his stand-up, his acting, what he does on Instagram, his viral videos, and we got him to do his Hockey Bro character a little bit. So without further ado, Nima Naziri.
I don't know what the cloud is. I know I'm new to this stuff.
Well, doesn't matter. We're recording now. Face Off Hockey Podcast has a very special guest, Nima Naziri, comedian, actor, podcaster, influencer, whatever you want to call him, man
Pretty
of
much
many
just,
talents.
Just a legend, you know?
Big legend. Thank you. Welcome to the show, Nima. How you doing, man? How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, guys. I'm happy to be here with my fellow Italian Greeks, whatever the fuck you guys call it.
Yeah, a bunch of fucking, a bunch of mutts.
Bunch of paisans.
Bunch of paisans. Oh!
Oh!
Yeah, so like I said off the top, off the air, I've been following your content. Mikey's been following your content for a long time. We think you're hilarious. We've got some mutual connections. We came across your Hockey Bro character that you did not too long ago, receiving some oral activity.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And it was actually one of the funniest thing. It was so relatable to so many people I've come across in high school. So before we really get into your stuff, your Hockey Bro character, where did the idea come from? Is it just simply being from Toronto, or did you know someone exactly as your character portrays?
It's a little bit of both, to be honest, because typically all the material that I do online with my accents and stuff, it has mainly to do with growing up in such a diverse city as in Toronto, especially. Right. So, and also, yeah, like I grew up with hockey players in my high school who would just literally be like talking a different language. And I'm like, what the fuck are you saying? Like, what do you mean? You're a plug. Just like, what does that mean? Like, right. So, I just picked it up pretty early on. And then I just made it into a character. So
Yeah, those hockey players, they have their own fucking language, dude.
Oh, man. It's more than any, like, any other character.
Half clapper, top cheddar. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Fuck. It's like, man, it gives me a fucking brain aneurysm just trying to, like, decode what these terms mean.
Yeah, you're, like, writing it down as they speak,
like,
right?
Formula, bro. Yeah, literally, yeah.
Plugging that,
like,
shit into Google Translator, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Voice memo, man. So I can listen back to it.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's like a podcast recording in.
Exactly. Good shit, dude. Yeah. Like Gio said, we've been following your shit. It's good stuff. So what's your goal? Cause, like, mostly I see social media sides of things. I kind of saw a little bit of your stand up. I actually, hilariously enough, noticed you in The Boys. I think it was the first episode of season one, literally like a minute into the show. You were doing your Russian accent, I think, if I remember correctly.
No, it was the Arab accent.
It was the Arab accent.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah,
Arab accent.
Terrorist. I was a terrorist.
Yes, 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 yes. And I just remember killing myself laughing when I saw that, because I was like, of course, this guy, like, because I know it's filmed in Toronto and stuff. So are you looking to obviously get into acting more so? How did The Boys come about? What's your end goal?
So I'm actually, like, originally just a comedian and actor. So I want to do stand up. I want to do acting for movies and TV shows. And that was actually, fun fact, The Boys that I was in, and it was season 2, episode 1, I believe. It was the first ever audition I did for acting, and I booked it right away. Oh, and then after that, hundreds of other auditions, just straight bomb, just rejected. Crazy. So it's either beginner's luck or fucking who knows.
That's what happens.
Yeah, maybe they saw me get shanked and, you know, they didn't like the way I died. And they're like, no, this guy's a shit actor. Let's not book him anymore. But no, I'm originally just, I want to, stand-up comedy is one of my main things I love doing, and also acting. And then the content you see online is pretty much, it's like the third priority for me, to be honest, because that's more so just to build my skills and the brand and the audience, so that when the time comes and I do want to do shows, I can, you know, bring people to the shows and, you know, sell tickets, stuff like
sell
that.
Sell some right tickets. Now. Yeah, exactly, bro.
You know?
Was there a certain point in your life from the last couple of years where you really dialed in on wanting to do this as a goal for the rest of your life? Like, was there a moment where you woke up one day and you just decided to make these videos on Instagram? Was it maybe one of the first videos that started to go viral? Was something that got you to take off?
Yeah, so I actually dropped out of university to pursue my passion in comedy.
Good for you,
acting.
Man. Good for you.
Yeah. I had to do it, man. I come from a Middle Eastern background where, like, my parents are strict. They came as illegal refugees from fucking Iran on a boat.
for me to
like, you know, become a lawyer, engineer, doctor. And when I told them eventually after I dropped out of university that I wanted to be a fucking clown and make you laugh, you know, like, obviously it was tough at first
it's
for them,
a tough
then,
conversation to have with your parents, for sure.
Definitely, yeah. And I'm sure you guys, you know, probably have similar experiences because they're also immigrant parents, right? So
for sure,
there's a lot of riding, a lot of pressure. But for me, I have an older brother who also changed his path, and so it kind of, like, made it easier for me to want to change my path. And so pretty much what I told my parents and, like, my family, I was like, you know what, this is what I love doing. This is what will make me happy. And I know I'll fucking go hard for the rest of my life doing this because I actually have a passion for it. And I never let them down. Like, ever since, like, every day, just been grinding away. You know, I know what I want and I have a purpose to where I'm going. And I've been showing it since I started 2014, pretty much.
Yeah.
End of 2014.
Yeah. And I've noticed, like, you're pumping out content like crazy. Like, I, you know, as viewers, we don't really see all the back work that goes into these things, right? So we just kind of see the 30-second final clip of everything. But I can't imagine how long it takes you to plan this stuff out, how long it takes you to film it, how many takes, that sort of thing. It's a grind. Like, I can't, like, honestly, like, I've tried to do it. We've tried to do a couple promo videos even for the podcast, and I'm, like, done after, like, an hour of trying to do the same thing over and over again. So it's definitely, it's a resilient craft, right? It takes a lot of sort of...
That might be just more you, Mike, but...
Yeah, maybe I'm just a piece of shit.
Sorry.
ADHD, dude.
You opened the door for it, so...
Yeah, let's not project your laziness on everyone else here.
That's fair.
Yeah, you fucking duster, bud.
That's a little presumptuous of me.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, but
you're right, though. You're right. Honestly, it's it is tough, and a lot of people, like you said, they don't really notice the behind the scenes, which is fair. Like, obviously, They don't, first of all, they don't even care. No one will give a fuck until you really are getting somewhere. And then people want to see behind the scenes and the vlogs and stuff like that, which is what I do now too. But like, they don't see like all the fucking grunt work and the failures that goes on along the way to make this proper product that you're seeing polished in final form. Right.
For sure.
But it's all part of the process, and I love doing it. And honestly, I like doing bad and failing because it means I just get, it's another opportunity to grow and learn.
So having said all that, what have been your biggest takeaways during your entire process of starting from the ground up, going into the entertainment business? What has been the one takeaway, let's just say for the last year or so, because the pandemic has kind of thrown a curveball for all of us. What has been your one takeaway that you can now, going forward, having known what you know now, can propel you into the next stage or your next stage of your evolution?
I'd say consistency more than anything, because it doesn't matter how bad you start off or if you're not sure of what you're doing, as long as you're staying consistent doing whatever you're doing, eventually that thing you're doing, working on, is going to get better and people will start noticing, and you know, better things will come from that and the results will show. And that's literally, I've proved that through this whole year of pumping out content online, on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, YouTube, everywhere, right? So it's like I'm posting daily videos everywhere, and it's like almost undeniable. It's like you just want to get to a point where you're just like fucking bombarding people with shit to watch, right? Because at the end of the day, like realistically, people's attention spans are so short.
Yeah.
That they'll watch one of your videos, and then like literally within the next 2 minutes, they've already seen six other posts. So they've already forgotten about your video that you just watched, right? So that's how I look at it. And that's why it's easy for me to pump out more and more content, because I'm like, well, yeah, if I post three videos in a day, the chances are most of the people who are watching that first video I posted won't even see the third video. So it's like, why do I even, you know?
Yeah, man, I like, even as you say that, like such an unforgivable job, I'm going to say, because like for me, like I think I'm a pretty funny person personally. I'll say that myself.
Yeah, you look funny too. Yeah. I look
funny. See? You know what?
I'm kidding.
I teed it up for him. That's what I do. I'm a good wingman.
He's spot on.
But listen, no. So I don't even remember where I was going with that, but I was going to say, okay. So I'm pretty funny guy. It's okay.
Yeah, you are. Right.
And this happens, I'm sure, a lot in your comedy shows where people throw you off and you're like, shit, I don't remember.
For sure.
But yeah, so I'm pretty funny guy, I think. I throw like a couple one-liner jokes out there. I think they're hilarious. And I want to, like, I expect people to laugh and continue to laugh. When they don't, I'm like, damn, that hurts my ego a little bit. And it's not even what I do for a living, right? So for you, like, did it take a while to get a thick skin? Did a lot of people, you know, try to bring you down, tell you to quit, that sort
good
of thing?
Good question.
And yeah, good answer. Yeah,
good answer.
Yeah, that is a great question. Well, first of all, I mean, yeah, like I've always had a thick skin because, you know, I've always been kind of fat. So
it's a big dude. I see that.
I had big titties this whole time. So
come on, titties.
Yeah, big old titties. Yeah.
Supple too. Hang low, dude. They
very, very supple. Yeah.
I bet.
No, like, yeah, when I first started like doing stand-up, especially, that's what made me really toughen up, because people think stand-up is easy. It's like the hardest shit I've ever done in my life to this day. And every single time I go up on stage, I'm always nervous because, well, like at first it was like, you know, kind of nervous because I wasn't really that confident, or I didn't know for sure if my stuff was working. But now I'm nervous because actually it's exciting, and I know there's a chance of like anything can happen, right? And that's why I like it so much. But yeah, like after failing so many times doing stand-up shows, and literally I was doing open mics in front of like random ass people that weren't even paying attention, in like attics, in dungeon looking places, basements where like fucking the wall is like, oh, there's holes in it. You know what I mean? Like there's fucking one person watching at 2 a.m. with his dog, and the guy's passed out, just smashed. They're not even looking at it, right? So all that shit kind of built up for me and like made me get a tough skin to, you know, kind of not worry about how my material is coming off, or, you know, if people like it or not. It's just like a matter of, you know, like just doing more.
Makes sense. I respect that.
Absolutely. Yeah, sorry to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, yeah. No, I just wanted to add, like, especially if I'm doing a set on stage and I bomb, which I've done more than I've done well, it's actually now it's gone to a point where if I bomb, I'll just make fun of myself. And then like, it's like, I'm not too worried about if I don't get the laughs because I'm like, all right, whatever. It's just one night. It's one demographic. It's one audience. It's like very, it's so subjective. So it doesn't even matter.
And it's more content for you to use later on down the road. I would think. Sorry. I don't know if anyone can hear my cats meowing in the background.
Oh, that's super loud, bro.
They're going fucking off. Seriously though. Seriously.
Holy man.
Mike lives in a farm.
They're two guys. They're two boys. I call them my little gay members. Okay. I love them. Love them to death.
That's cute. Love gay
guys. I kind of, me too, dude. Damn, bro, same. What I was going to say was I was watching a little bit of your stuff from, I think it was the Cannabis Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
And that kind of made me laugh because it brought me back to a time where me and a few buddies, I think it was, this has to be like 6-7 years ago now. We used to go to a place in Toronto, not downtown, in Toronto called Vape on the Lake. And we used to do.
Yeah, man.
You would.
Yeah.
Love that place, bro.
We used to have, they used to do like a stand-up comedy every Tuesday night or something like that.
Thursday.
So I kind of was wondering if you'd ever perform there because we had gone several times for this comedy night. And it was just such a blast. Like we were the only people laughing sometimes because there's just a bunch of stoners in a room.
Yeah.
And they're kind of just all kind of mellowed out there, right? So we were the only ones laughing at this stoner show. Have you ever done a stand-up show there at all?
Yeah, all a bunch. When I was first starting more so because they closed down a few years ago.
Yeah,
I noticed that. But which is so sad. But like, man, that was one of my favorite spots to go to because I was friends with the host of the Tuesday Night Show.
Right.
It was Nitish and Paul. Right. And I'm still friends with those guys and like super hilarious. And it was always a good time because weed rooms are so funny because people think because people are high, it's hilarious. People are gonna laugh. It's actually the worst fucking rooms.
Dude, the amount of social anxiety in that room is
so much. Ridiculous. It's insane. It's incredible. Yeah. Like there's been times where I feel like I'm talking to dead air and there's like 50 people in front of me.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, yo, are you guys here? Like, right?
Some of them aren't there. Exactly.
No, they're not. No, they're zooted.
There's this dude that would go there religiously. I don't know if every day, but he would just go there and just hit shatter over and over again.
Yeah.
And like, he would just be there like a zombie. And like, we would look at him to make sure like he's okay and stuff. So
dude, there was the one dude that used to hit the vaping volcano and he used to color. Yeah. He used to bring a coloring book.
Yeah.
Like, there's always characters like that. There. Yeah. Always.
And everyone's just kind of vibing, doing their own thing. One of the coolest places I've been to. I actually went to search for it probably about a year ago just to see if it was still around.
No.
I found out it wasn't. I was pretty devastated.
Really, and now especially because of COVID, like every other room is pretty much closed down now, which is even more of a fucking bummer. But man, those are good times in those rooms.
Yeah, so I kind of was thinking if I ever seen you there because like I was looking at some of your stuff and I was like, oh, this kind of sounds familiar, kind of looks familiar, even like a few years ago. So
maybe, I mean, like I wasn't there all the time, but like you know, like once every few weeks, maybe I would go there, but. Maybe might have crossed paths. Never know. Maybe.
Now I did want to jump in and ask you a question before my shitty.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Before my Oakville internet connection craps out again. But you had mentioned like your parents. They came from Iran, immigrant parents. You know, we've all kind of experienced the same thing, and they got kind of upset when you said you weren't going to become a doctor or an engineer, and you wanted to do comedy. And I see your mom making appearances in your videos quite often these days. Has she kind of changed her tune a little bit now, seeing that you've had some pretty big success?
Yes. So when I first started doing YouTube, after I dropped out, I started off pretty much imitating my mom. That was the first thing I did because that was the easiest thing I could do, right?
Yeah.
You know, something that was super close to me. And I started off doing that. And then like I saw that I went viral the first video I posted and got excited and it motivated me to do more. And that was when I started to, I was actually heavy into watching pranks that year. I loved watching other people do pranks. I was like, oh, let me prank my mom. And I pranked my mom a couple times and it also did really well. And then, you know, surprisingly enough, like she hated it, but at the same time, enjoyed it because every time I post a video of her, all the comments are about her and how much people love her, right? After a while, it became a kind of like a pattern of like, okay, like the more and more I post her on my social media, more people are commenting about her and like, you know, showing love. And she low key likes it. She still talks shit. I was like, no, don't. I don't want to be on camera. I'm shy. All this shit. But no, like I see, like every time I post a video now, especially with the, I've never had a bigger following than now. Mm-hmm. Like people like are DMing her now and shit, like saying like, oh my god, like you're a queen. You're this, like, oh my god, can you adopt me? Like,
you gotta keep your mom shit. I gotta keep her close, dude. You gotta
keep her close, bro.
People gassing your mom up in the comments.
I know, man. Like, relax. You know what I mean? At some point.
It's dangerous.
Some people are just going too far.
Your mom's gonna. You're gonna notice your mom going around wearing like makeup and getting her hair done around the house. Surprise video time, you know? Like,
yeah, literally. I'll walk in one day. She'll just like be on like doing stories on her own.
Be careful. She could have a bigger following than you one day.
Oh, 100%, bro. Everyone. It's funny because people always say that too. Like, yo, I'm only following you because your mom. Your mom is funnier than you. I don't even follow you.
Oh, that's ruthless. I do really like your mom and her content. She reminds me of like the Greek family that I have.
Yeah,
like, it's very similar culture, I think. So
that's
fine. It's hilarious. It's good stuff. I think she you can see that she, like, you know, at first is kind of hesitant, but she kind of enjoys it after a while.
And like, she's actually pretty funny too. Like, she's actually kind of a good actor as well.
Yeah.
So like, she heightens it up for the camera, which
it's
is
in, it's, I in the jeans.
Exactly.
It's in the jeans.
Exactly. Jeans, man.
It's natural.
Exactly.
You know?
So it's natural, and that works. And so, yeah, I don't mind, you know, like whatever helps, you know, garner more attention, more entertainment, all matters.
Agreed, for sure.
Yeah,
so we did bring you on the Face Off Hockey podcast, obviously, you know, to showcase your hockey bro character a little bit.
Yeah.
We might put you on the spot a little bit, maybe get you to do basic Toronto, Scarborough, Mississauga, Oakville. We'll give you some hockey sayings. Obviously, a Persian man's would be pretty funny as well to throw in there.
Okay.
And just fire off a couple quick hockey sayings. You guys have any off the top you want to throw at Nima here?
Yeah. Whatever he's most comfortable with. I mean, I'm not gonna
covered a lot.
Dance for me, puppets. No, I'm not gonna do that. It's, you know, it's like, oh, all right, now do this one.
Gio, what do you think's a good one? What do you think's a good one that you know, that we should get?
I think we should start with, boys, we gotta be hard on the forecheck, get pucks in deep.
So
All
in one? That's a lot. I don't even remember what
you said. So you want me to translate it or say it?
Yeah, just like if a Persian hockey player had to tell his team to be hard on the forecheck and get pucks in deep, what would it sound like?
Oh, okay. So in my own like translation in that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Persian for forecheck. This is going to be fun.
I don't even know what the fuck forecheck means. But
it's spelled how it sounds.
Yeah.
I think foreplay is the same thing.
Yeah.
That head helps.
Okay. Okay, listen, idiot. So just you will take the puck, put it in the other end. Okay, don't stay here. Okay, don't be stupid. Go all the way over there. Do your exercise over there, and we can make happen. Okay.
we can make happen.
That's exactly how I'd imagine it would go.
All right. What else we got, G?
If he had to, you know, get the team going, get some energy, he needed to drop the mitts, get a little Tilly going for the boys.
Oh, yeah.
Tell them not to be plugs, to man up and get going. Well, how would he say that to his teammates?
Is this the Persian guy still?
Of course, whatever you want to do, bro.
Yeah, we could do. we'll go with another Persian one, because that one's good.
We'll do another Persian one for now. All right. Okay, guys, come on. Come here. Come. Listen. How many times I tell you? please, hey, Josh, idiot, come on. Look your eyes at me. Okay. When I tell you, be confident, have confidence, okay? You will win this fight if you just try. So please try, and maybe later we can go for a try if we have some tea later. But for now, just fight.
Just Persian Herb Brooks over here. Persian Herb Brooks. If we play him 9 times, they might win 10.
It's those please.
If we please, like nine live, like cat, we can have the 10 whatever bullshit.
Oh shit, making Mikey cry, bro.
Yeah, man. Honestly, it's good shit. It's good shit. Gio's a big fan of your Hamilton impersonations.
Oh, fuck, bro.
I got lots of.
Oh, you got it.
Yeah. It's, I got
you gotta whip out the Hamilton.
Lots of family in Hamilton, and I can attest that this is in fact the truth, and that is how they act. So
love it, man. That's how we roll, man. That's how Hamilton rolls.
if you had a Scarborough man's and a Mississauga man's battling for the puck in the corner in overtime, what would that sound like?
Yo, doc, you fucking top, my guy. Yo, I swear to God, if your man's come close to this puck, guys, you're finna catch a rude death, eh? No, Habibi, what you're talking? No, I take the puck, I put it in the net, we go win. Number one.
He's not kidding. That's kind of how it would sound like.
Yo, you know, man. What? That's pretty good of you to be able to do that on the spot. Like, I wouldn't remember what the Mississauga accent is versus, like, I mean, you, I'm white.
They're ingrained in my brain.
Bro. Yeah. They're everywhere.
It's emboldened him.
Yeah, it's literally, it's like a part of me now.
So yeah, Nima, we want to add some of these to our soundboard eventually and just like have these different accents. So, gee, any other ones? Do you want to get like one of those, like, let's just like a generic fucking, you know.
Yeah, give me another one.
Okay, so let's I don't remember what we've already discussed, but like let's say like the team captain is trying to get the boys up. They're down 2-1, going into the third, and he's trying to light a fire under their ass and go.
All right, listen up, you fucking morts. Okay, look at me. Hey, bro. Listen, hey, look at my fucking eyes. What did I tell you about fucking talking, bro? Shut your mouth. Okay, bro, listen. So I don't have fucking time for this shit, all right? It's third period. I'm trying to fucking go home and smash my broad Alessandra. You guys are fucking... You guys don't know what the fuck you're doing on this ice? Bro, do I gotta teach you everything? Holy fuck, man. Okay, so go out there, okay? Use your fucking brains. Don't get skeeved. Okay, do your shit. Okay, sauce a couple of fucking dude bros here and there and get it into the fucking net, bro. Okay, all right, bro, get out there. Get out.
I love it, man. I love it. My girlfriend lives in Thornhill, Woodbridge area. So I, nice. And my dad grew up in that area. So obviously, sure, all the Italians out there, exactly, all the Mords.
Love it. Yeah.
Nima, before we get you out of here, before we head out, Let's get you as the classic hockey bro, white boy from Oakville, who's just entering a fresh high school party with his boys.
Yeah, and is trying to pick up a chick at the party because he's a hockey bro.
Okay, sick. All right, let's do it. Yo, what are you guys saying? Yo, it's good.
Yeah, not much, bro. Yeah. Hanging out. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, you got a fucking dart, bud?
Stack. I don't smoke, bro.
Oh, that's fucking that's sus, bro. All right, man. I'm actually gonna go fucking wheel some birds inside. You guys down or?
I got a girlfriend.
Oh no, buddy,
I do, but what the hell? Let's do it for the lulls. Let's do it for the memes.
Buddy, just be a fucking beauty, man. There's like fucking savage rockets in there. Let's get her.
Top Come shredder. On, man. Let's Here's go, your bro. Blunt.
Buddy, oh, you're fucking beauty, man. Beautician right here, eh? Buddy, let's fucking shoddy some Pabst Blue Ribbies, eh?
Some PBR for the boys.
Fucking White Claw, let's go.
Oh, man, I was fucking smashing this broad last night, bro. Like, she's a fucking 7 at best. Man.
But a Hamilton 9, I bet, right?
But a Hamilton fucking 9, you know what I mean? Like a fucking hammer 9? Yeah, you already know, boys. Okay?
Does she pack lips, though?
Oh no, she's man. Like yeah. I had to fucking teach her the ways, man. She was just fucking, I don't know, I told her just run me a gummer and I fucking dashed out the door, you know what I mean? Like I was like, buddy, I'm not fucking dealing with this shit right now, you know what I mean? I gotta pack lippers and fucking mug chow after. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So yeah.
Fucking- That's crazy. You got I have a friend, we have a buddy, Gio and I have a mutual buddy who literally talks exactly like that.
Holy fuck, dude.
do you know who I'm talking about? Because he sounds identical to that. He's a former like, he's kind of like, I don't want to say like a washed up hockey guy, but like he was competitive hockey player.
Wow. Yeah.
And now, like, you know,
we'll talk off the air. I feel like I might know who it is.
Like average Joe job or whatever, but legit. talks exactly like that still to this day. And it's hilarious. So every time I hear you do it, it kills me.
But it just fucking sends, eh?
Yeah.
It just fucking sends. Rip darts, packs lips, the whole nine.
Just fucking Tilly's all night, boys.
That's it, bro.
That's it, man. Yeah. All right. Nima, we appreciate this so much. Thank you for responding to our email and coming on the Face Off Hockey Podcast, telling your story, doing a little bit of your hockey character for us because we're the hockey podcast here. And hopefully we'll get you and Austin to come down together in the future. We'll work on some stuff together. How's that sound?
Yeah, man, that'll be amazing. Yeah, especially if COVID's over, we can actually do it in person. That'll be pretty legit.
Be a hell of a time. I got
that. Be Sublime Boys, full send.
Yeah.
Full fucking send. Yeah.
Full fucking send. Yeah. Nima, do you got anything you want to plug before we get out of here? Anything you're working on? Twitter handle, Instagram handle, that sort of stuff.
Yeah. So I start shit on Twitter all the time. So you guys want to fucking follow me on Twitter?
Perfect.
We love starting shit too.
Yeah, just start straight controversy, boys. That's it. Fucking Nima Nast, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube. I post weekly videos on YouTube, vlogs, podcasts, all that stuff. Daily Instagram and TikTok, obviously. And I'm actually working on a big TV show with my friend Austin, as you guys know.
Yep.
We're working on something big for the next year, so hopefully that blows up in the next couple of years. And just gonna keep grinding, boys. That's
good
it
for you, bro. We'll have you on, and we'll have a completely different conversation after you guys blow up from that TV show. I think your content together is really, really good. I think you guys complement each other well. So, and Gio and I, we go back to the Vine days, so we kind of miss the TikTok boat here, but keep doing your shit. It's good stuff. Yeah. And we appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me. And man, just keep fucking rocking the Puck Podcast, boys.
That's it, baby.
Hack those darts and
get those gummers.
Get those backseat gummers. Nothing clear, though. That's my broad, all right? fair, my fair, Puck Bunny. Yeah. Don't ever touch Claire, boys. All right? I swear to God, I'll fucking throw hands. All right.
Drop them. Go for a nice tilt.
I'll drop the mitts real quick. All right.
All right. Stay away from Claire. We got it. Nima.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Thanks, brother. Say hi to your mom, the next star.
She's literally gonna be the next. She's gonna be the biggest movie star in 2030. Right.
We're looking forward to it, buddy.
Yeah. All right. I appreciate you guys.
All right, guys, we hope you enjoyed that interview with Nima. Gave us some good laughs at the end, made Mikey tear up. We talked about our vape on the lake degenerate days.
Yes,
wish that place was around, dude.
Yeah, man, it was a great time.
How many times did we suggest, actually, like on random Tuesday nights, Thursday nights, hey, $5, let's head down, let's go see a comedy show.
It was great, man. Like, for the entertainment we received, I mean, it was entertaining just going there without a comedy show. So
exactly. Yeah.
I mean, the comedy show was an added plus. And I mean, we were, you know, university students at the time, whether it was, you know, April to September where we were off and we, you know, wanted to just hang out, do something with the boys. It was just a fun place for us to go and hang out. And honestly, man, I had some really, really good memories from that place. So, it was, it's kind of a cool thing to have in common with Nima. I thought that was pretty cool. So knowing that he actually did some shows there and stuff is pretty cool. And then seeing where he is now. So it was kind of a cool little thing there for sure. I do miss the place. It was a great time.
Absolutely. And you speak of cool places and things to do and places to go. The NHL attempted something very unique this past weekend with the Vegas Golden Knights, Colorado Avalanche, the Philadelphia Flyers, and the Boston Bruins, where they packed their gear up and they headed over to Lake Tahoe. And I got to start off by saying one of the best looking sports venues I've ever seen, hands down. It's not even a bias to being a hockey fan more so than other sports, but to play right on the lake with the mountains in the background, the trees, and Mother Nature having a say in how it was all going to play out. I got to say, though, it was spectacular. Now, I don't know what you guys thought about the game. It is a little upsetting that they had to play a period and then shut it down for, what was it, like 7 or 8 hours, whatever it was, come back midnight East Coast time. And Kak, you're laughing, but don't hate on the NHL for trying something unreal in unprecedented times in the pandemic, because look, if you're going to crap on the NHL for not having their shit together and knowing about the sun and Mother Nature and all that. Okay, go ahead. You know what? Let it out. Go ahead.
All right. Look, we had outdoor games in hot weather. We had Vegas in 94. And this is the one where Rickus and I actually.
You guys have probably agreed because Rickus talks about how the NHL screwed up here, right?
They've been doing this for years. Okay. They've done 30 outdoor games. Like this is how they couldn't have seen this coming. Yeah. The NHL is a gong show. I'm crapping out. I have no faith in technology or humanity anymore.
Yeah. The NHL is partnering with coach. Any of that. Down. Yes. Some of that came through CAC. I'm just going to answer. Cause Gio just looks a little concerned for you, for your well-being right now.
Well, no, it's not even that, man.
Well, he could be in danger. Kojko's coming after him or something. We don't really know at this point. So we'll keep our listeners.
I don't have Kojko. That's the problem.
That's the thing.
Not that you know of, buddy.
It could be disguised. You would be those ghosts that were showing up on your webcam for all these months. Maybe they had to do something with Kojko, dude.
That's Kojko.
But Mike, do you follow the same trend that CAC was trying to get at?
Yes and no. So I do like the fact that they do these games. I look at him just sitting there. He doesn't know he's leaving or when he's not. So,
in the ether.
Yes, he's in limbo currently. I agree with both sides. I really like that they try to do exciting things like this. The venue itself was beautiful. But listen, you play a sport on ice.
Yes.
There is technology available for you to keep that ice in pretty decent shape. You're the NHL. You got lots of money. Maybe not right now.
Well, don't think they didn't have like a system in place to keep the ice cool. Okay, they've been doing these for years, like you said.
Well, like, okay, so then what the fuck happened? You didn't.
The sun came out, dude. You can't control that.
I mean,
they've done it in the desert and in California.
Yeah, there's no excuse at this point. I mean, you're literally playing a game on ice. You have no responsibility to put bleachers up because you can't have fans anyways. All your sole focus is to make sure the ice is playable. That's literally the only job that they had, and they couldn't get it done. I mean, it's kind of embarrassing. I'm embarrassed. I was embarrassed. I stopped watching after the first period. I was like, this is kind of fucking.
We all did because it was 8 hours and 20 minutes later that the puck drop.
Yeah, but I want to see this.
Watch it after that.
Because, look, they've played in the snow. They've played in the rain. They've done it when there's cloud coverage. I don't think they've actually. Yeah, they played the stadium series out in LA. They played in Dallas. They played on different parts of California, but this was the one time where the sun actually came out. And the reason those other games, I believe too, were played later in the afternoon or when there was cloud coverage or late at night. So I don't want to beat the NHL down for it because it just ended up becoming an unfortunate set of circumstances, to quote Lou Lamoriello. And I don't know. They just had to delay it. It's not like they didn't get it done, but to crap on them for trying to do something so different and so unique because of a factor like the sun coming out. It's just, I don't know, man. I don't feel as strongly as most people did, but I do understand why you get upset. You're a professional organization. You've been doing this for however many years, like you guys have said, you should know your shit, but I don't know. I think everything lined up at once.
It's just amateur. It looks amateurish and unprofessional. I mean,
I guess you literally
are the leading like, organization when it comes to hockey, when it comes to ice. You should be able to fit, like, imagine like they're playing like a basketball game if in China, and all of a sudden the wood just caves in the middle, and they're like, oh, sorry, like we something happened,
but that's different. That's a structural issue. It has nothing to do with the sun beaming down on the wood and making it rot.
Is the sun a new thing? Like, has the sun is it new this week? Like, did they not know about the sun a couple weeks ago?
This is the new sun.
Look, you want to do something in like CAC said, they did one in the desert. There's, I mean, surely hire a chemist and that can make ice, you know, stay around for longer. I mean, people are lighting snow on fire in Texas. Figure it out. What the fuck?
Yeah,
I mean, it's really not that hard, honestly. Like,
I know. But so to really beat them down about it.
I'm not beating them down. I don't necessarily care either way. I think it's a cool thing that they did. The thing that bothers me more than anything is that people are like, oh, the NHL, like, there's not enough nice places in the world that are cold enough to play an outdoor game. And I just call fucking bullshit on that. Yeah. Look at Canada. We We have literally every single possible terrain. I don't think there's any place in Canada that's exempt from snow, maybe Vancouver, but you know, it's just raining there.
They were going to do it in Lake Louise, but the Canadian government put a stop on it. Right,
which is fine.
It wasn't going to come.
But I think that can end up coming back into their loop, because I think the only reason they didn't do it in Lake Louise was based on marketing and advertising issues the government had with the NHL. Lake Louise has come up. I heard someone bring up Alaska.
Yeah,
that would be kind of cool.
Do it in
right?
Anchorage. Like, you, if you're struggling to find a cold
you don't have
place,
to have fans there.
Just go to a cold place. So like, think of like Yellowknife, like Northwest Territories. Okay, it's like pretty damn beautiful there. Like, I have clients at work that are from there. Like, I know I have coworkers who have been there. I've seen pictures. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. If you can set up a game in Yellowknife where the sun doesn't set because of the how far north it is, or where it's really dark and the northern lights are there, you could set up a rink. There's mountains, there's wilderness, the northern lights in the background. I mean,
100%.
Do it. You could do it in anywhere pretty much in Ontario. Go Muskoka, build a fucking rink there or something, like whatever.
They'll come back to BMO, but the reason the NHL does these events is because of money, and they do it to sell tickets and people go to the game. And look, the reason they played the first game at 2 or noon or whatever, they're already 3 hours behind, so it's the middle of the day. But this all has to do with the TV and the sponsorship. This wasn't the NHL saying, let's drop the puck at noon Eastern when the sun is beaming hot. It wasn't really their full decision. It has a lot to do with TV and sponsorships. Go ahead, Kak.
Well, if I'm the NHL, I would have... If they had any inkling that this could go sideways, that's what I would have told the sponsors and just said, like, look, I mean... like with flat earthers, science. that's what I would have said, right? Like, science, we can't have this start at noon. I mean, there's all these precautions and you're running so much risk. And look,
for sure. But it's tough when you have that deal expiring with them next year and you want to try and get them to get you as much money as possible.
Take it from someone who just told someone of note to take a friggin' hike. If you have enough evidence, they'll see it around your way. If not, they're a fucking idiot. Like, I don't know.
I understand. There's a lot of
mood today.
There's a lot of factors at play. And yeah, it made the NHL look bad, but I don't want to get too down on them because they did something no other league has ever done, where they go to such a remote location in a beautiful spot. It looked beautiful. And
it was nice.
They still ended up getting the game done. And then the following day, the Flyers and Bruins, nothing really went wrong there. They obviously had it more under control. They pushed it back from the afternoon to night on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was a little bit cooler.
The NHL is such a meme league. Like, it's, I don't know. With the whole sponsorship and stuff like that, like, you could have said this just wasn't going to work unless they didn't have that information. Although, how could you not?
That's something we'll never know. But you bring up that they're a meme league. And to just add to another one of their memes, the New York Rangers, Artemi Panarin, and the Russian government, I guess, a little bit of a pickle. I think the other day it came out that Artemi Panarin, he's taking a leave of absence for personal reasons from the Rangers. The guy was a Hart Trophy finalist last year, which he played some of the best hockey I've seen him play in a long time. After splitting time in Columbus and Chicago for a little bit in the beginning of his career. But a Russian news article on Monday had quoted Andrei Nazarov, who's Panarin's former KHL coach and was a former NHL enforcer. I don't remember that. Basically claimed to a newspaper that Panarin had beat up an 18-year-old girl in Latvia in 2011. Now, I didn't do my math here, but I think Panarin probably would have been around the same age at that time, maybe 19, a little bit older. And it was alleged that, you know, this is maybe coming out because, you know, I think it has to do with him speaking out against the Russian government at one point. I'm not really too sure.
So there's this guy, I forget his name. I knew it before the show, but there's this guy that's running against Putin, and they've been silencing him, have been trying to put him in jail. And or I think they have put him in jail a couple of times, and he's kind of running for his life. They tried to poison him. And so a bunch of Russian players, Panarin being one of them, spoke out about like freeing this guy, because I think he is imprisoned. So, I mean, Russian government, unless your family is near a window, they're going to try to take you out some other way.
Yeah. So here's what it says. It says Panarin has been an outspoken critic of Russian President Vladimir Putin, where last month he posted a photo on his Instagram account supporting Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny with the caption "Freedom for Navalny." So
there's that, right? So yeah. with Russian people, they've been revolting, and the thing is, your second cousin could be in danger because you spoke out. But yeah, not only is it bad for Panarin and just Russia as a whole, can't get me, I'm in Canada. The New York Rangers, the last 12 months, I just want to go through what the hell this organization went through.
Go ahead.
Shestorkin and Bishnevich with the car accident. Keandre Miller, the Zoom incident. Lundqvist was bought out. Zibanejad battling COVID and missing camp. D'Angelo leaving the team. They signed Jack Johnson, and Panarin taking a leave. Like this, especially that Jack Johnson, that's dark. But like, that's just, it's been just not a good 12 months for this organization. No. Nazarov, although, because Twitter, it seems to, a lot of reporters are speaking in defense of Panarin, saying that Nazarov's not working with a full deck. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was also pointed out that I think Nazarov, who posted the article, they don't know if he did this on his own or if he's being forced by the government to do this.
Could be. Come on. Like, they tried to poison
Navalny. Mike, are you muted? Mike, are you muted? What's going on? His voice isn't coming through. He's trying to speak. He unplugged his mic. He looks a little surprised. But anyway, before we get Mike back,
thank God we're going back to the studio. Fuck this.
But it's weird because Mike's mic isn't working now, and CAC, your connection is complete. What's going on?
I'm back.
Well, you've been back, so
CAC is back.
Let's knock on wood here. But
it was Agatha all along.
There he is. That's this guy from, unplugged that's from, his mic.
WandaVision. That's a reference to me. I hope I didn't spoil it for anyone. But that's a reference to me being Coach Go, who's tampering with CAC's internet. But I'm not. It's a joke.
What were you gonna say though, Mikey?
I kind of forget. What were we talking about?
I said we don't know if Nazarov is acting on his own or if the government is making him do this. And let's be honest here.
And that's exactly what I said. I said, let's be honest here. We all know the answer to that question. There's no way this guy's doing this out of his free will, just for fun. I mean, we've seen multiple people report that this is completely fabricated and it's not true at all. You know, whether that's the truth or not, it's obviously,
we'll find out,
pretty sus. But I just want to say, and I don't want to make this political at all, obviously, but it just goes to show you that, you know, a lot of people complain about Canada's government and our rights.
I was going to say this too. And I was even going to bring up the United States too.
It really bothers me a lot. You know, people complain about gun laws. You know, Trudeau is canceling making gun laws stricter, and then, you know, people complain about wearing masks. It's against our rights and freedoms, and I'm a Canadian citizen and I have a right to not wear a mask. Fuck you, government, you're taking my freedom away. I mean, I can't stand hearing that shit. Regardless of what your opinion is on wearing masks, on COVID, on guns, you know, if you look at countries like Russia, if you look at countries like China, you can't even open your mouth, man.
So, yeah, I was going to say,
you know what?
People like to point to the United States. They think they got political problems. Please don't even get me started.
They got mental problems.
It just proves ignorance to a lot of people that, and it just proves entitlement that a lot of entitled people are not aware that they're this entitled or as entitled as they are.
Yeah.
And it drives me nuts. So take this as an example that things could be a lot worse. You got a millionaire hockey player, one of the best in the league, who is forced to take a leave of absence, whether the story is true or not, because his government is potentially slandering.
But it all started just by saying, supporting, in three words, the opposition.
Yeah, right.
Imagine if someone from the U.S., in 2024, let's say Donald Trump runs again. And if if someone just posts freedom for Trump or justice for Trump, and then that person has to go into hiding. They have to pull an Edward Snowden.
Not only
and
that,
go remote,
but that person, the leader, their whole family is getting poisoned, and he's in jail. And I mean, to be fair,
dude, it's crazy.
I mean, the whole Hillary Clinton thing, truth to it or not, is kind of similar. They're just trying to put her in jail. I mean, whatever, you can look at it different ways.
Wait, which truth to Clinton? Extents.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Because there's many threads we can pull on where they're concerned.
Exactly. Yeah. There's some sketchy, and politics is sketchy in itself. I don't think any one person is you know, free of any guilt or any you know, they're all equally as criminal.
Yes, you
anyway,
can say it.
Anyway, so
let's get back on the rails a little bit.
Yeah, so that's my point is, you know, don't like, dude, count your fucking blessings and, you know, fuck off, because the rest of the world is you know, not as better off as we are.
As for the mental thing that I said, guys, you guys bought guns when you guys had the lockdowns. Like, come on, it's prayers and guns that's going to blow this thing away. Give me a break. Come on.
Yeah. Correct. And it's funny because when this Panarin story came out too, and I was talking about it yesterday, and I thought I had read, don't you guys remember something about Ovechkin showing support for Putin a couple years ago?
Putin was at his wedding.
Was it? I don't know. Well, that's pretty jokes, but I don't know if had to. Yeah, here it is. 2017 announced a social political movement in the name of hashtag Putin team. Putin is rarely criticized publicly by high profile Russian born celebrities and athletes. I wonder why. But I remember something about Ovi coming out and supporting Putin, and people were like, whoa, what's going on? Why are you saying that? Why are you making that social? And it's like, dude, maybe fucking Putin had a gun to his head or something and is making him do this. Like, yeah, you know,
you don't know.
Let's take a step back.
Look, like Putin, I don't think Ovechkin invited him to the wedding. I think Putin invited himself to the wedding. Yeah. I mean,
and just like how Putin didn't score 14 goals in that.
I was just going to
those goals. So hold on. And Barack Obama is an NBA player that never got drafted. Okay. But sorry, I'm coming off as a very ignorant person right now.
I don't know where that came from.
It's comedic effect, guys. I thought Mikey was
pointing to the fact of the All-Star game where the guy scored 9 goals, and every time he got the puck, everyone was like, whoa, hold on. I can't touch you.
It was like over the blue line. It was like Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey where the goalie just gets out of the way.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I mean, it's a absolute sideshow over there, and it's just like, it's a whole country. Russia is like it's the largest country in the world land wise and there's lots of people that are living in shitty conditions. So yeah, I mean, if anything, this brings light to the situation what other people live through on any given day. So it's fucked up. I hope he can come back soon, because it's kind of scary that this guy halfway across the world has this kind of effect on a player who's, you know, on a hockey player, really, that plays
it's
in the
wild.
United States.
So. He's not even like Ovechkin or Malkin. Like, Panarin's a great player. Don't get me wrong.
I know. You're right.
You know, those two are elite. And he's good, but not at that level, right?
And also, you don't hear people being like, oh, how come more Russian hockey players aren't speaking up against Putin? But that's why.
It's exactly why.
You know what?
I feel like we do have to bring something up that we have to speak of. The NHL had an Instagram post yesterday, and it was called the Trophy Tracker, and they kind of went over each of the four divisions. They picked a Hart Trophy candidate, Norris, Calder, and a Vezina. Now, I don't know if you guys had time to look at this completely. I think we all three of us did, and we have our own little takes. I did want to talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs and how it relates to standings. I think we'll push that to next episode because, you know, as the season keeps rolling along, that topic can change, and it might be a better conversation next week. So we'll save it for there. The last thing we'll talk about is this Trophy Tracker. So if you look at the Mass Mutual East Division, yes, I said the Mass Mutual.
Haven't heard that one in a while.
They have for the Hart Trophy, Brad Marchand. Now, Boston has been one of the better teams in that division. Marchand has been playing very well. In the Norris, they have Charlie McAvoy. Haven't really been following the defense that much in that division, but we'll go with it there. Ty Smith is the Calder nominee, I guess you would say, from the New Jersey Devils, and Semyon Varlamov for the Vezina. Now, Patrick Kane is a Hart favorite in the Central, with Hedman leading the Norris. Kevin Lehkonen, the rookie goaltender for the Chicago Blackhawks, is up for the Calder, and Vezina for Andrei Vasilevsky. No surprises there. This is where it starts to get a little interesting. We're just going to skip to the North Division because we live in Canada. We focus most on these teams.
Okay.
Go ahead, Cac. What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, did you talk about the Honda West? No, you didn't, right?
No, there's the West. So Kopitar's up for the Hart which I thought was pretty interesting. Kale McCarr up for the Norris. That is hands down my pick for the Norris. Mikey, I think you had originally brought up before, maybe it was last year in the podcast when he was making his debut. Didn't you bring up, you said you wanted to pump the brakes on him a little bit because you didn't know how he's going to turn out. Was that you or am I thinking of something completely different?
Kale McCarr?
Kale McCarr. Yeah. Dude, where's McCarr?
I don't
maybe
know.
Not. Maybe it wasn't you. I thought
I did have some stuff to say, but I've been a Kale McCarr fan for a while. So
okay, so maybe it was something else I'm thinking of. But his fellow teammate Philip Grubauer of the Colorado Avalanche up for the Vezina. Kirill Kaprizov up for the Calder. He's been pretty steady, but he really had that opening week is where he exploded onto the scene. Obviously a little bit older, had played some years in Russia.
And I think he had a bit of a COVID, like I think COVID stopped him from playing a shitload of games, did it not?
It might have. I'm not too sure about
that. Because I kind of remember, I'm just fantasy hockey, I go back to this because I picked him up after he ripped it and then he really hasn't done anything since. So
true. That would make sense. Kat, go ahead.
Oh, no, just that I don't agree that Grubauer should win the Vezina or should be up for the Vezina so far because Fleury's just killing it.
Yeah, that's where I wanted to start with the debate because the North really offered up the most debate. But Marc-Andre Fleury, I saw our friend Stephen Ellis from the Hockey News. He put on Twitter the other day or last week, if you had to pick a starting lineup for an NHL all-star team across all divisions, and majority of the people responding to his tweet had Marc-Andre Fleury in net. I didn't see any if he had a rebuttal or anything, but man, what a turnaround from, I guess it would have been like 12 months ago now, or maybe just less than 12 months with Alan Walsh tweeting out the picture with the sword in the back and everyone said he was going to get traded. And then Vegas doubles down with Leonard and Fleury, and Fleury has been the best goaltender in the league this year. Has he not, Kak?
Yeah, you guys got, oh my God. He's like 15. No, not like I had the GAA memorized. He's had like a 1.55 GAA so far or something like that. Like the guy's just been on fire.
Yeah, he's been unreal.
And,
so.
And I just want to make a point of saying, I think Kak was the one who was saying he shouldn't have been on the all-time like goalies of the decade or the whatever, because I want to say I back Marc-Andre Fleury up throughout all of this shit. I think he's a great goalie, and I think he deserves all the credit he's getting.
I said he was streaky, okay? I said he was streaky, and I didn't think that he was. I still believe that he's not the best goaltender of that decade. I'm going to say that.
Anyways, let's not go.
We're not going to get into that right now, but I'm just saying, we're talking about the first quarter of the season. He has a 1.55 GAA. He has a save percentage, I'm looking at it now, at .0942. Like, the guy's good. The guy's a stud. The guy would be right now, if we were to do the awards today, I think I'd put him over Philip Grubauer. But, you know, I still think he's a streaky goaltender, and he's won one cup where he was the starter. But then again, you know,
I don't know if there's a goalie that's not streaky at this point. I mean, I've seen which goalies get lit up six goals in a night. I've seen them come back the next game and let in zero. So
let's talk about
where Kak's going with this.
Let's talk about that North Division, Gio. Tee it up, please.
Yeah, and Gio, before you tee it up, I want to say, I was under the impression the North Division had some of the best goalies, if not the best goalies, or group of goalies in the league.
I think we were all under the impression, not only goalies, but the teams were of the best. And it's just flat out not been the case. And this was going to be the crux of my argument when I was going to talk about the Leafs, if they were still playing in the regular Atlantic with Boston, Tampa, Florida, Montreal. But anyway, we'll save that for another day. We'll see how it progresses.
Yeah,
exactly. For the Hart Trophy, they have Connor McDavid. You can make an argument to yes and no. Auston Matthews could be up for the Hart as well. The Norris, Quinn Hughes. I haven't really looked at all the stats, but up until a week ago, Quinn Hughes was the number one defenseman in the entire NHL for being on the ice for letting in 5-on-5 goals against with his team, that whatever that stat was. I can't remember the exact name. But basically, every time the Canucks were on the ice 5-on-5 and got scored on, Quinn Hughes was out there pretty much all the time. I don't know what that says about his defensive play, but I don't know if I'd put him up for the Norris.
I don't like it either. He's a minus 12.
So yeah.
I
know people hate on the plus minus. Do you think that's still a relevant stat? You know what?
Not when you're a fucking defenseman.
Yeah, maybe it's not as relevant as it used to be, but it's still relevant. Like, you can't not look at that stat and not think of anything, you know? It's
literally if you're on for a goal, whether you step on a second before the goal goes in. You're still on for the goal. It's not going to be the case every time. So yeah, I think it's a pretty stable statistic to look at, unless you're looking at Jake Gardner's plus minus. But anyways, let's
go. Oh, you got to bring Jake into this. Come on. But Tim Stützle of the Ottawa Senators up for the Calder. Now, he could be up there. He does have a teammate named Josh Norris, who is giving him a run for his money. He's, I think he might be up there with Stützle in leading points. He is a little bit older, so maybe that's why they give Stützle the edge. He comes from Germany, doesn't really know the language. He could speak it pretty good, actually, and he has to adjust to a North American game, so maybe that's where they give him the edge. But here's where the debate kind of starts. Our boy Freddie Anderson. Now, he's up for the Vezina nominee early in the halfway, whatever you want to call it, for the North Division. Kak, you're shaking your head. Tell us why.
No.
He
hasn't been that consistent. I will say pretty much all of them have been inconsistent, say for Connor Hellebuck, but I would go, maybe it's just the Hab Homer in me, I'd go Jake Allen.
Ooh, okay, interesting.
Well, it can't be Carey Price.
It can't be Carey Price, and it can't be any of the other shitty goalies either. So,
other than Connor Hellebuck, I don't see anyone that's been consistent. Freddie's had some very rough games. He's not been good.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it either, Kak.
I can't believe this. This is such an NHL thing to do. And I don't, it's off the board, Jake Allen. But if you've watched Jake Allen, and I have, when I'm not getting blacked out, Jake Allen has been lights out for most of it. He's been very consistent. And what are you going to hope? Be? No. Markstrom, probably not. Mike Smith, please.
The only reason I can see the NHL leaning towards Freddie Anderson is because the Leafs have played 19 games. He's played 16. He does have 11 wins. His save percentage is back over nine. So it's at 905. Nothing great, but nothing too bad. Goals against is 2.69, but you can attribute that to the Leafs having terrible defense. It's been better.
I mean, it's not.
We got to talk about Morgan Riley next episode because
we're pushing.
There's a lot to say.
We're pushing it for time right now. But at the end of the day, Freddie, I was a big advocate for Freddie Anderson. I think he kept us in a lot of games, but I also think he lost us a lot of games too. So, I can't give him, give it to fucking Hutchinson. Guy hasn't lost a game for the Leafs, and he's got around the same. Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. He was in net. I didn't actually watch the game last night. It's the first game I missed, just because we were doing our other shit. But anyways, at the time I had said this, he had been undefeated. So whatever.
How do you not give it to Connor Hellebuck, who has a 916 and 2.64? I don't know. He may be 8-5
games. Let me see.
14, but he may be 8-5-1. But are you kidding me? Are you telling me that that's not better than Frederick Anderson's output? Agreed. Like, come on.
Yeah, and he's ahead of him in the overall summary of goaltending stats. If we look at just Canadian division, but this is Mike Smith is number 6, Jack Campbell number 7. But that's only because they've played 5 games. In those 5 games, Mike Smith's got 4 wins, 1.83 goals against, 9.4 save percentage. Campbell went 2-0. Equally the same numbers. And then Jake Allen is the next Canadian goaltender here at 11. And then it goes Laurent Brossoit, but that's only because he's played 4 games. And after that, you go see David Riddick and then David Riddick and then Connor Hellebuck. And Connor Hellebuck has played the most games, most wins out of all those guys. And the only reason they're up ahead of him is because, smaller sample size. So I don't know. It's maybe it's a Leaf bias.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, I kind of wanted to mention, maybe it's the Leafs just trying to, they probably just said, hey, let's make Freddie feel better about this whole situation. Let's pump his tires. Let's gas the guy up a little bit. Cause we're trying to re-sign him next year. Cause we're fucked if we don't. So I legit think that that's something that the NHL and the Leafs would collab on doing. So
they're screwed either way, but okay.
Either way.
I completely agree, but the devil, better the devil, than the devil you don't. So,
next episode, guys, we hope to get in studio, episode number 62. We hope to get in to have a good debate. And I think with how the next week plays out with the Leafs and the Oilers, McDavid, Matthews, and Atlantic Division teams, we're going to have a good debate to get into studio. So we'll push it to there. Thank you guys for watching. As always, subscribe to us, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, Face Off Hockey Podcast. Leave a rating, leave a review, share it with everyone. We want to get the show back up and pumping up to the moon as we get back in the studio, the segments, the sound effects, and all that. Social media at Faceoff Puck Pod. You can follow us at the names below. And we get you out of here with Jager. Salute.